Etad
this.
Adhyatma
spiritual.
Paroksham
authorized description.
Gitam
narrated.
Deva Rishana
by the great sage
Narada.
Anaga,
O spotless Vidura.
Yaha,
anyone who
Shavayet
may describe.
Yaha,
anyone who
Shrinuyat
may hear.
Saha,
he.
Lingena,
from the bodily concept of life.
Vimuchyate,
becomes delivered. Translation, my dear Vidura, one who hears this narration concerning the understanding of the living entity's spiritual existence as described by the great sage Narada, or who relates it to others, will be liberated from the bodily conception of life. So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. This material creation is the spirit soul's dream. Actually, all existence in the material world is a dream of Mahavishnu, as the Brahma Sanghita describes. Yat karanana vajale vajate sma yoga nidram ananta jagadanda saroma kupa. This material world is created by the dreaming of Mahavishnu. The real factual platform is the spiritual world. But when the spirit soul wants to imitate the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is put into this dreamland of material creation. After being in contact with the material modes of nature, the living entity develops the subtle and gross bodies. When the living entity is fortunate enough to associate with Sri Narada Mahamuni or his servants, he is liberated from the dreamland of material creation and the bodily conception of life. So,
Etada Yatma Paroksham Gitam Devarshinanaga Yashravayat Yashunuyat Salingena Salingena Vimuchate.
So, Om Ganatimananda Shaganjana Shilakaya Chakshurun Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So this particular metaphor of a dream state is used by Srila Prabhupada quite often. Prabhupada says sometimes that in the night we have a dream that lasts for 20 minutes, and then during the day, that is this lifetime, we have a dream that lasts for like 80, 90, 100 years at most. But what happens is when we wake up from the dream, then we understand that the dream was simply a dream. Of course, sometimes it takes some time. So the whole point is to wake people up from the dream and to understand why they entered the dream in the first place. Now, it's very hard to wake people up from the dreaming condition. The example given in the writings of a great philosopher, his name is Plato. Plato wrote about the dreaming condition of the soul, and he described it like people in this world are living in a cave. The cave means like ignorance. And in this cave, all they see are the shadows of different things. Of course, that's the same thing that Krishna says in the Tatushloki verses. He says, Ritevatam napatiyeta, napatiyeta chatmani tadvidyad atmanomayam yatabhasha yatatamaha. He says, if you see anything without connection to me, know it to be my illusory energy, which is like a reflection that appears in darkness. Same exact thing. I mean, Plato must have been exposed to the Vedic literatures. Otherwise, he wouldn't have come out with this particular analogy. So it's just like, you know, shadows. We're in a shadow world. And so what happens is the living entities are living in this cave, in the shadow world. They've never seen the sunlight. And what happens is sometimes one person gets out. for some reason or other. In other words, the guru says, come out with me. And he goes out and he says, wow, there's a whole world out there. There's sunshine. Of course, we know in Krishna consciousness, there's Krishna, there's loving exchanges. And, you know, in the cave, they're just like cavemen. They're fighting each other and don't see the light. So then he thinks, what about the poor people in the cave? Let me go back and try to get them out. So he goes back into the cave and says, look, my dear Prabhus, fellow devotees, that there's a world out there. There's light. You don't have to be fighting here and just looking at the shadows and fighting for the shadows. That's what we're doing here in this material world. Like fighting for position, you know, position and control. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a second. So you can come out. There's life out there. You can enjoy with Krishna. You know, I'm adding something to Plato's analogy, obviously. Plato didn't mention Krishna. But he said, you can come out to the light. And they start throwing stones at the guy. He said, you're crazy. You should be locked away in a mental institution. You know, this is the real world. You know, we just have to eat meat, fish and eggs, take intoxication, try to control everything. You know, this is a real world. There's nothing beyond this lifetime or beyond this cave. And in this way, the guy gets discouraged and runs outside again. Or he stays inside and just tolerates all the abuses and eventually convinces a few of them to come out with him. So that's how we actually preach Krishna consciousness. You can't convince people until you show them. What do they say? Seeing is believing. So Krishna says in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pavitram Ram Uttamam Prachaksha Bhagavam Dharmam Shushukam Kartamavya. That this knowledge is the king of education, the king of knowledge, Raja Vidya, Raja Guyam, most secret, Pavitram Idam Uttamam. And then Prachaksha Bhagavam Dharmam. That Prachaksha, Aksha means eyes. And Prachaksha means to directly see something with the eyes. So you can directly perceive the absolute with your aksha, with your eyes, with this dharma, prachaksha bhagavam dharmyam. And also it gives you what? Shushukam kartamavyam. What does that mean? Happiness. Unending happiness. Just like we see the six things that occur due to the execution of bhakti according to Rupa Goswami and the nectar devotion or what? What's the first one? Nobody knows? I heard you had a nectar devotion seminar here. So what are the six qualities, you know, six experiences we have by taking up Krishna consciousness? What's the first one?
Desperate.
What? Desperate?
No.
No? What? No. In nectar devotion, I'm not talking about nectar instruction. Nectar devotion. That's right. When you took the course, did you take notes?
Yes.
Did you take a test afterwards?
Yes.
So then you just like have short-term memory, you remember for the test?
No, we did the test, but not the result yet. So
you don't have the result.
You know the result, then you know that
it's okay. So, if you know the result, then you remember? No, that doesn't make sense. So you take... you should take notes and then preach what you hear. Then you remember what you hear. That's our process. If you don't preach, you know, there's several things. If you just go to class, you don't learn very well. If you practice it, you learn a little bit better. But if you really want to master something, you have to teach it, right? That's the point. Teach. This is what I am telling you, things so you can teach those things. Okay. Immediate relief from all distress, right? What's the next one? Yeah, that's another one. That's not exactly the next one in chronology, but that's all right. That's the next one. And, well, yeah, transcendental happiness. You get transcendental happiness. Okay, you got two so far. Yeah, three, actually. It's the beginning of all auspiciousness. What's another one? Well, that's happiness, you know, that's happiness, same thing. Happiness, beginning of all auspiciousness, relief from all distress. Dun, 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 dun. What, you're a scholar? No, faith is not. These are the qualities, the things you get out of pure devotional service, and or the descriptions of the qualities that you get out of pure devotional service. All right, I think we should go back to ABC. You're not the body. Another one is, you mentioned it's the only means of attracting Krishna. Krishna becomes controlled by pure devotional service. It's rarely achieved. Okay. Did we get all six yet? Rarely achieved. Only means of attracting Krishna. Beginning of transcendent. Yeah, well, that we already talked about. So anyway, so I think we touched on them. So the point is, this is the experience we have. You know, that's the pratyaksha, the direct experience. That in the beginning you join Krishna consciousness, you're relieved from distress, and you also feel transcendental happiness. Your life becomes auspicious. And ultimately, at the end, you know, the end, then you attract Krishna. It's rarely achieved. So pratyaksha bhagavam dharmyam shushukam kartamavyam. That's really what convinces someone to take up Krishna consciousness, that direct experience. So we have to give people... The point I'm making, as far as preaching, is that we have to give people more than just there's another world out there. Like in Plato's analogy, they said there's another world outside of the cave. We have to give people an experience. Now, what is the experience that we give people that attracts them to Krishna consciousness? Which is really interesting. We give them a taste in different ways. First of all, they see the devotees. And they say, here are saintly people. Just like it's described by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ado Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sango Ta. Then in the beginning, they develop some faith in the devotees. In other words, as the devotees act, then that'll determine whether or not people are attracted to Krishna consciousness. So that's the very beginning. You know, the first way that people judge the Krishna consciousness movement is not on the philosophy. And usually not on the prasadam, although they'll like the prasadam, but they won't judge the movement by the prasadam. They'll judge it on the basis of the people who are practicing. I remember that, you know, the temple I joined was real nice. I just thought, well, there were all saints in this temple. Of course, that was after I met Prabhupada. And then, because I wanted to associate with those people. In other words, sadhu sangota. You want to associate with them. If you don't want to associate with the people who are practicing Krishna consciousness, you're not going to become Krishna conscious. So the first thing is that we have to display saintly qualities. Even if we're like Ravana, at least make believe you're a saint. No, it can't be just make believe. So if we want to attract people, we have to act like Krishna conscious people. And that means acting on the intelligence platform, even if we're not realized at that particular time, that even though we may have or may be struggling with vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udara pashta vegam, we control it with the intelligence. You know, even if we feel like getting angry, we just say, this is not going to be good for preaching if I start yelling at Samukha. Everyone will lose faith. So therefore, that's the first way to preach. Yad yad acharati shreshtas tatat evaita rojanaha. Acharati, that's Krishna says in the Gita. People follow examples. And we have to show that we are shreshtas, that we are topmost people, you know, elevated people. If people come to the temple and then they find the same version, the same thing that's going on everywhere else in the world, except these people are wearing dhotis, they're not going to be very attractive. Isn't it? I mean, they come to the temple, same thing that's going on in politics, in the business world, and they come in the Hare Krishna temple, it's the same thing. Except we have tilak and dhotis. This is our uniform. It's just a different culture. So, anyway, so that's extremely important. So, how do we become saintly? Or how do we structure a society so that the saintliness is encouraged? And I've been thinking about that. That's actually Varnashram. We were talking about that yesterday in a meeting we had. At least I was thinking about it. I don't know if anyone else was thinking about it. But I was thinking about Varnashram is there because the saintly person is considered the top of Varnashram. I mean, it's actually a Brahminical society because the Brahmin is the head. Whereas in our consciousness, generally the Kshatriya or the Vaishya is the head of society. Isn't it the way people think nowadays? Well, the Vaishya especially. You know, big businessman. But then Kshatriya. What does Kshatriya mean? Kshatriya means Ishwara Bhava, that they desire to be in control, manager. So generally we think that being a manager is actually the pinnacle of success in Krishna consciousness. Like, you know, being the temple president, ultimately the GBC. And even we perceive the guru as a manager. You know, so we really don't understand this Varnashram culture. Varnashram culture means the brahmana doesn't manage. It's the highest position in society. Generally, we think the manager is the highest position. I mean, that's ingrained in our consciousness because we have, you know, the president, da, 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 or the prime minister, or isn't it the highest position? But in the Vedic culture, like you have Lord Ram, of course, he's the highest, but we understand that. But he was acting to show us Varnashram. Lord Ram was acting as a Kshatriya. And yet, what did he do? I mean, he actually surrendered himself to the lotus feet of his spiritual master, Vasishtha Muni. Vasishtha Muni was actually the Kula Guru of the whole dynasty, you know, the Sun Dynasty, the Surya Dynasty. So he surrendered himself and acted as a humble servant. But it's not that Vasishtha Muni was into controlling things. Vasishtha Muni, he was just interested in preaching and relishing the Lord's pastimes. And so that's considered the highest, isn't it? That's actually the highest in the culture. So if we have the culture structured like that, where you have real brahmanas who are detached from this world, people will become attracted to our movement. You know, saintly persons. I mean, what do they criticize saintly persons for, or, you know, leaders of spiritual movements for now? Not just this kind. I'm talking outside. Like, you had one case in Fiji where some big, I think his name was Benny Hines or something like that. He collected a lot of money. He got caught by the police, right? Is that the person? And then he had to, he was prohibited from coming to the country again? Is that what happened? So people lose faith because sometimes you have these spiritual leaders when they're dealing with money. Money causes a lot of suspicion. You know, when people have money or controlling money or whatever, then it causes, therefore someone who's in a spiritual position should be aloof from those things. I mean, giving advice and everything like that, but aloof. And then people tend to trust more. Right? I mean, if you have to come to your guru for your toothpaste, and the guru is telling you, you should not buy such an expensive toothpaste, you should buy cheaper toothpaste, doesn't create such a nice relationship with the spiritual master. But not just spiritual master, but any spiritual personality. So what we really need in ISKCON is people who are detached from the Ishwara Bhava. That means the mood of controlling. We also need people who want to control, too. You need both things. And you need Vaishyas who do some nice business, the stomach of society, maintaining the rest of the society, right? We need that. And we need Shudras. And also another thing is someone who's on the topmost platform of Brahman is ready to do any work for Krishna. You know, clean the temple, build the temple, do anything. That's another point, too. We have a misunderstanding of Varnashram. We think if someone does menial service, he's a Shudra. So therefore, as soon as people take second initiation in our temple, they refuse to do any menial service. They're too good for it anymore, right? I'm a Brahmin. All I do is Brahma Bhojana. You know, say, can you do some service? No, I'm a Brahmin. Look at my thread. I'm a Brahmin. Your service is just to serve me. Because the Brahmana is eating on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that's my service, to eat on behalf of the Lord. I've heard that. That's a nice service. So we want to develop some Brahmins in our society. Brahmins, and, you know, sannyasis, people who are just interested in the spiritual welfare of others, people who are detached, people, you know, other qualities like controlling the senses, tongue, belly, genitals, mind, anger, and words, controlling, samadhanat, dhapaccho, cham, shanti, raja, equipoise, self-controlled, austere, tolerant. I mean, these are the things we should be concentrating on. That's real leadership. If you find people like that, then it's better not to put them in a managerial position. Right? Although here we think, you know, someone who's actually spiritually qualified, make them a manager. That's ISKCON's misunderstanding, isn't it? I mean, it's understandable that we have the misunderstanding. Why is it understandable? Because when Prabhupada started the movement, he had to conflate and combine both roles. It was absolutely necessary because, you know, you start a movement, you don't have a structure, managerial structure, a hierarchy, and then you just have to have someone who does both things. But ultimately, in our Krishna conscious movement, we need people who are... So if we find people with those qualities, we should encourage them to take up the position of a detached preacher. And not only that, glorify that position. That is the highest position. Just like myself, you know, I'm engaged in management, GBC, and all those other nice headaches that I get on behalf of Prabhupada. But I'm actually thinking, you know, when can I take a higher position? They'll say, what's the higher position? Well, being just a detached preacher in Krishna consciousness, not being concerned with who's a trustee or who's not a trustee or any of this stuff, but just being concerned with each and every one of you. You know, what is your spiritual life? And if you have that, that's so attractive to people. Like if you have in a temple someone who is simply interested in everyone's spiritual life, someone who can minister to people, someone who can mentor people, someone who is giving his heart and soul to making devotees and encouraging people to become Krishna conscious. Wow! That's wonderful, isn't it? Then people will find shelter in our Krishna conscious movement and people will join our Krishna conscious movement in droves. I mean, droves means like many. You know, they'll just be fighting. They'll be the door. There'll be a long line going like 3 kilometers away, you know. How can I join? They'll have to give them numbers. You'll have to wait until 3 years, you know, and we have a space for you in the Krishna conscious movement. And then at the initiations, we'll have like a fire sacrifice with 10,000 people. Like, that's what happens. Actually in Bangladesh, it happens like that. When Japa Tagamar gives initiation in Bangladesh, there's sometimes like 1,000 people taking initiation. It's unbelievable. He has to chant like on 10 sets of beads at the same time. I tried it. My fingers aren't that good at it. So we shouldn't be satisfied until we're affecting society in a very large scale. Prabhupada wanted that. Until the Supreme Court justices are wearing tilak, all that other stuff. And that can be accomplished if we actually have, you know, people who are focused and brahminical and we should encourage that rather than discourage that. I mean, I'm for many years, I was just thinking, the pinnacle or the goal of my Krishna conscious existence is just to get a high managerial position. Even I was thinking that because that was the culture. But now I see that instead of that, I mean, we take responsibility, obviously. I'm not renouncing things prematurely. But instead of that, we should see that the goal is to develop a society of brahmanas, people who are just like spiritual inspirations for others. I want to be like him. And very few people are inspired by management. Someone's a manager, you say, I want to be like him in the future. I don't see that. But I see that, someone is like Prabhupada, brahminical, like preaching, inspiring people, and managing. Prabhupada managed, yeah, but Prabhupada was Prabhupada. That's what I know that's defining something by itself. But Prabhupada could balance both things. It was the beginning stage of the movement. If you examine sociologically religious societies, it usually starts from a charismatic personality. And after a while, you have to get into this thing, what's called routinization of charisma. In other words, the charisma has to be invested in this society or in other individuals. So anyway, so there has to be a transformation from the beginning stage of a society, which is a sociological fact. I mean, if you study sociology of religion, you'll see that, to a stage where you have more stability in society. So we do need good managers. But to conflate the roles, that means to put them together, can cause a lot of confusion. In the manager's own mind and the spiritual person, it causes a lot of confusion. When I deal with people, I'm confused. Am I dealing with someone as their GBC? Am I dealing with someone as their spiritual authority, their guru? What is my identity? Identity crisis, as they may say. What?
Vaishnava.
I'm not a Vaishnava. You are. Prabhupada said we shouldn't call ourselves Vaishnavas. I'm confused. I'm a servant. That's a better. So I'm confused. What is my service? So I just want to be in the position personally of, being interested in people's spiritual welfare. So that's how we should see society. Varnashram. That is Varnashram. Prabhupada said 50% of his mission was not accomplished because he had not instituted Varnashram. Varnashram is a brahminical. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. And of course, you also have the different ashramas. Brahmachari. We don't have many brahmacharis here. Any? No? No, they all disappeared. They made many promises in the past that they remained brahmacharis, but the promises didn't work. So it was brahmacharis, grahasthas, vanaprasas, and sannyasis. So basically, that's the point I'm making, is that if we want to attract people, we have to have brahmanas that inspire people, where there's no question about their behavior or anything like that. Perfect examples, or as perfect as possible. Okay, so any questions or comments? Just want to make a few points like that. Yeah. Yeah. But nobody responded. Because in India, generally, the concept is a Brahmin is born in a certain family and does rituals and all that other stuff like that. And what we understand is that a Brahmin is one who knows Brahman. That's the direct definition. The direct definition of Brahmin, the primary quality of Brahmin, is he who knows Brahman. Brahmeti, Bhagwani, Paramatmeti, Bhagwaniti, Shabdite. And the indirect, just like with anything, you have gona and mukya qualities, you have direct qualities and secondary qualities. Then the secondary qualities of a Brahman are samadhamaktapaksha, cham shantim narjavam ayavachagyam, vijanam astikyam, brahma karma svavavajam, equipoise, self-controlled, and all the other things I mentioned. So it's, in the beginning, it's primarily the secondary qualities that attract people. If you find someone who's really like Shanti, Om, Shanti, Shanti. You know, you ever chant like that? Who's very peaceful, self-controlled. You can get angry if Krishna's blasphemed, that's okay. And very knowledgeable in the Shastras. Really important. Jnana is very knowledgeable, but Vijnana, practicing, realization of that knowledge. So this attracts people tremendously. That's what I've seen. If someone is renounced, someone is dedicated, someone is knowledgeable, someone is practicing, someone is tolerant. Isn't it? We admire someone who's very tolerant, isn't it? That, you know, like Haridas Thakur, we glorify him for tolerating being whipped in 22 places. Or Prahlad Maharaj. Very tolerant personalities. You know, let's say Prahlad Maharaj had, let's say his father had tried to kill him, and then Prahlad Maharaj pulled out his Brahmin thread and started to curse his father. Would that have been something we would have admired? I don't think so. I don't think so. Or I was just hearing the story of Srivas Thakur the other day. Srivas Thakur, there was this person named Gopal Chapala who wanted to blaspheme Srivas Thakur because he couldn't come into the dancing ceremony of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, the kirtans every night. So what he did is he left ingredients for worshipping Durga outside of Srivas Thakur's door. And, you know, all these things, vermilion and all these things they have, just like we just finished Navaratri. So he wanted to, it's called framing someone in English. You understand? Or like sometimes the police, they do a sting operation. I don't know if you know what that is. They plant marijuana in someone's house so they can arrest them and then put them in jail. So in this, do they ever do that here? No. I'm sure they don't. But, so in the same way, he wanted to put that there so to blaspheme Srivas Thakur to cause Srivas Thakur's reputation to be damaged. So what happened is that Srivas Thakur woke up the next morning and he looked at all these things and he said, look, now everybody knows I'm worshipping Durga. He didn't even try to defend himself. He was very tolerant. But as a result, what did Lord Chaitanya do to that Gopal Chapala? Does anyone know? What happened to him? He got leprosy. And then Gopal Chapala went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, you are the most munificent. Please free me from all these reactions. And Lord Chaitanya, instead of saying, I free you, he said, I curse you to be bitten by these worms for 10 million or 10 billion births, something like that. So here's Lord Chaitanya, the most munificent, cursing someone to be bitten by worms, you know, because he had leprosy. That means the worms are biting him. And so later on, of course, he was forgiven when he took shelter of Srivas Thakur. So there's examples. We have many examples in our sampradaya of great tolerance. Of Prabhupada. I mean, when Prabhupada came to preach in the West, he had to associate with people who were so degraded. I mean, you don't know what a hippie was like. They sometimes didn't take baths for days. I've been to this thing in the United States they call a Rainbow Festival. Anyone's heard of that before? Where the hippies are all walking around naked. And, oh, I can't even breathe. It's so bad. And so Prabhupada had to associate with these people, you know, us people, me. I don't want to say these people because I was part of that whole gang. Well, I took a bath every day. Yeah, it wasn't so bad. I washed my long hair every day. So Prabhupada had to tolerate us and tolerate people keeping meat in the refrigerator, you know, cat food or something like that in the refrigerator. And so we glorified Prabhupada for that tolerance. Isn't it? We glorify people for these saintly qualities. Tolerance, kindness. It's so wonderful. So when we have people like that, that's what will attract people to our Krishna consciousness movement. And that's what we need in our society. More than anything else. It's saintly people. You know, we need good management too. I'm not denying that. I'm not saying that anything wrong about management. But we have to balance things. You know, without the Brahman, it means without the head. The manager is the what? The arms. That's a kshatriya, and the vaishya is a nice stomach. He comes to eat every day. And then he loves those rotis. So, and then the shudra also, anyway, shudra's the legs. He works hard. So, any other questions or comments? And varnashram, it's practical. Varnashram is Krishna's system. It's not my system. Chaturvarna mayashrustam, but guna karva vibhagasha, by someone's qualities. It was really funny. I was in Lambasa, and I was questioning about the people who were recommended for initiation. And so they said, this person's name is Sharma. You don't have to worry about them. I said, huh? I said, I met a lot of Sharmas that really weren't that great. You know, Brahmin name. And this person is like something Wala. You really have to worry about him. You understand? Like Wala, like Topi Wala or something like that. I said, we don't go by birth. We go by guna and karma. So I want to see whether someone's chanting Hare Krishna. So even if a Sharma is not chanting Hare Krishna, we're not interested in that. But if a what is a really low class name? Sunny? So even if it's Sunny is Jack. It's an auspicious name because it means, right? Saturn. Everybody's worried about their Saturn period. So even if someone doesn't have an auspicious name or come from a family, Vaishnava Swapachak Guru. It says that even if someone is in a good family and they're not Vaishnava, they should be rejected. Someone is in a bad family, like Haridas Thakur, and they're Vaishnavas, then they should be worshipped and accepted. So we should see qualities. Anyway, so guna karma vibhagasha, that's varnashram. Varnashram is part of our society. It's Krishna's system. It's not my system. It's not a modern invention. And as soon as we understand the different roles in society, and everybody goes back to Godhead too. Brahmins go back to Godhead, Kshatriyas go back to Godhead, Vaishyas go back to Godhead, and Shudras go back to Godhead. They're all devotees. But the society is based on the instructions and the guidance and the inspiration from the Brahminical class. Yeah, so I'm not saying everybody becomes a Brahmin. That's artificial. Then it's Kali Yuga Brahmins. If everybody's declaring themselves to be a Brahmin without the qualities, then it's useless. So, any questions or comments? No. Then you're a sacred thread holder. Prabhupada said, if someone is second initiation and they're not qualities of Brahmin, they're a sacred thread holder. They hold a sacred thread in their hands. So, what's the question?
So,
the perverted reflection of Varnashram is always there. In other words, that you do have a worker class. Like in communism, for example, Prabhupada commented that in regard to communism. You know, communism means basically, at least the proposal was that everyone's equal. That was Marx's proposal. But what happened is they ended up with a society that was broken down into different classes. The only problem was that the Shudra class in communism was considered the highest class. You know, in other words, the worker class. In modern society, in the democratic society, guess which class is considered the highest? What?
Vaishyas.
The Vaishyas control the government. Like you hear many times, someone will say, you know, I have the president in my hands here. Or prime minister, you know. Yeah, the Vaishyas say that. And it may or may not be true. You know, I can control it. So, isn't it? You ever hear that before? Yeah, or in my pocket. And I just picture, you know, some poor president in someone's pocket. like Bill Clinton. But it's actually true. Because if you want to get elected, you have all these different people contribute to your election, at least in America. I don't know anything about the political system here. It's not a comment on anything here. But it's like that. And then you have to appeal to the lowest common denominator. I mean, for example, just the other day, there are two people running for the Republican position, a president in the United States. Okay. And so one person, he criticized another one's religion. One person who's running for the presidency, he's a Mormon. Did you read about this? No, so anyway. It's interesting. So he says Mormonism is a cult. And so nobody figures out what the word cult means. It's just such a bad word that, you know, you don't analyze the word. And so the person who was accused of being in a cult, a Mormon, what does Wiggle Hari Krishna mean? Then he lost like half of his support immediately. I mean, Shudra doesn't think about, they just function on the basis of feelings. Like in the United States, one of the presidents, President Kennedy, was elected because he was just more handsome than anybody else. He was going to lose the election, but as soon as he went on television with the debates, all the women fell in love with him. Yeah, it was like Vivek Oberoi, you know, running for president. You know, like in India, like the Bollywood stars show up and everybody is just like, the tongues hanging out of their mouths. And, you know, the Shudra culture. Because the actors, the musicians, they're all lowest class in society, isn't it? So we're glorifying either the Shudras or the Vaishyas in society. Democracy generally means the Vaishyas. And communism, this is Prabhupada's words, not mine. Communism means the Shudras. You still have a society. Yeah, you still have different classes. But you're headed up by the wrong classes. That's the problem. You can't have a classless society. I mean, to say that everybody's equal, everybody has the same intelligence, everybody has the same skills, that's stupid. Like Prabhupada also talked about that in regard to the men and women thing. The Prabhupada said women need to be protected. And then the women would argue, no, we don't need to be protected, we're just as good as the men. And then Prabhupada said, well, the women are the ones who, you know, it's a physiological factor. The women have children. I've never seen a pregnant man. I mean, maybe there are, through the miracle of modern medicine. Rupa Nuga can arrange it sometime. But there's some stories amongst the demigods that happen sometimes. But in any case, so Prabhupada said that the man leaves the woman and the woman's pregnant and then the state has to take care of it, so the woman should be protected. So there's different physiological differences. Not everybody is one. And what to speak amongst, you know, even amongst men and women, there's different varnas. Women have different varnas too. There's women who are Brahmanis. There's women who are Kshatris. There are women who are Vaishis and Shudranis. And there's men the same way. So there's different qualities, and we should recognize that quality and let people work. Krishna says everyone should do his work according to his nature, even if that work has some sort of fault. It's better to do your own work, even if you could do another work's better, another person's work better. That's Bhagavad Gita. Stick, like he said that to Arjuna, stick to your own dharma. Don't become a Brahmin. He wasn't supposed to be a Brahmin, you're a Kshatriya. And everyone can become perfect in that way. So don't imitate another's work. But at the same time, we should have not Kali Yuga Varnashram, where everything is reversed, but Varnashram, where you have the Brahmins at the head of society. Not managerial heads, but the spiritual heads, advising the managers. Respected by the managers. That's actually Varnashram. Otherwise it's, you know, a perversion of Varnashram. But there's always a class society. You always have classes in society. It's impossible to do away with it. Okay? On that happy note. Okay, all glorious, there's divine grace.